This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tinkins here. They got a good one. Got a good one here. Got a good one. Live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage. With the every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Thursday. Around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206, 1-855-212-4227 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Don't at me. What up, TK? Doing today, buddy?
I'm good, man.
You okay?
Yeah, Samter's over here trying to.
What's he chirping about already?
That the reason that Clay and KD aren't playing is because they're in contract years. And they're trying to.
You know what?
What's the hockey player that played with the broken? He's gonna play.
Which one? The one tonight.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Zeno Chara.
Chara, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a hockey player. Of course, he's going to play.
But he's been cleared.
It's like a football player. You have a broken pinky. You got to play.
Of course, you're going to play.
You got to play.
I'll tell you who should have a broken jaw. That's Mark Stephens, the investor for the Warriors, who was sitting courtside. Now, first things first. For a long time, it didn't look as if Clay was going to play.
Yeah.
And then, right about an hour, I had the pregame coverage. I was actually watching the Yankees for a little bit, going back and forth. And the jump was on before they actually kicked it to the real coverage or the official pregame coverage. And Rachel had the news that he was active, which was a little surprising to me.
Very.
You know, I didn't agree with it. Flip on the game, he's not active. So obviously cooler heads or smarter heads prevail.
Or do you think it was a little gamemanship going on?
Maybe.
Who cares, right?
But are you going to really fool Nick Nurse at that point? A guy who comes up with the box and one?
Nick Nurse is probably saying, yeah, play.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was saying that a couple of days ago where if I'm Nick Nurse, I'm praying that I see Klay Thompson hobbling out of that tunnel because I'm going to go at him all night and maybe compromise him for the rest of the series. I believe that the Warriors will now win the series.
Wow.
I know that's kind of an odd take to have.
Why?
Because Klay Thompson will play Friday night.
Yeah, of course.
I believe Kevin.
He's got to because there's nothing to lose now.
But I also believe he's going to be fully right and he's not going to be compromised. Even if he plays. And, you know, I got to laugh, too, when I hear people say, well, just play him limited minutes. You could play 30 seconds and he can move the wrong way.
Which is what I said.
Of course you said that. It's common sense.
Because I'm a football player and you're supposed to play when you get little dings and dunks. I've played many a games with a strained whatever or another or broken bone, but it's football.
You got to do it.
Basketball's different.
You also play once a week. You have a little more time to regenerate there.
That's exactly right.
You know.
These guys got to turn around in 3 days. By the way, after cross-country and other country travel, it's not that it really is that detrimental to fly after injury. We get swelling and things of that nature, but it's not comfortable. You know what I mean? So there is some differences in injuries to football players and basketball players. But didn't he look annoyed on the bench, BT?
I felt badly for him. He looked like a competitor who
wanted to be out there.
No surprise, but that surprises. He's a champion. He's a quiet assassin. And a quiet champion, but he is a champion. His DNA, his fiber is platinum. Of course he wanted to play. You know, I don't know that he was ticked at Steve or the staff. I just think he was ticked at the situation.
Well, of course he's not mad at the situation. And Steve Kerr had some interesting comment. Not interesting, but he commented on why Klay Thompson ultimately did not play.
The whole point was to not risk a bigger injury that would keep him out of the rest of the series. So that was the decision we made, and I feel very comfortable with it. Never would have forgiven myself if I played him tonight and he had gotten hurt. So you live with the decision. You make a wise decision, the wisest one you can, then you live with it and you move forward. So the good thing is Clay has done well the last 2 days. Now he's got another couple of days to heal. Hopefully he'll be out there Friday.
All right. So one of those things, as Kerr said, you know, basically said, never be able to forgive himself.
That's what Santa
comes in. Listen, it's his job to do this. And you know, Santa loves to talk.
Yes.
Loves to chirp.
Loves
and
to be contrarian also.
Doesn't always know the existing narrative.
Yeah.
But I do that sometimes as well. I have no problem with contrarians. But he doesn't always know when it's time to leave the room. Like, I got work to do, buddy. I got you. I heard your point. I don't agree. I don't think it's important. This guy's telling me for 9 minutes as Margaret's getting ready to put on my makeup. She heard the whole thing. She can see me rolling my eyes. I'm like, Mike, get out. He's telling me, oh, Steve Kerr worried about the future. Stop. What he's talking about is the future of this season, not earning power, not, I would deprive him of $200 million because it's a hamstring. Let's stop with the nonsense. It's a non-factor, so I don't want to waste time on that.
Okay.
What I do want to get back to is why I believe the Warriors will win the series.
Okay, go ahead.
I also love the Raptors. I bet them early. I bet them big. Loved it. Cashed in. Had great confidence. They'd cover the number. They did, and they won the game. I didn't take them on the money line, but I knew they'd cover the number. Now I believe the Warriors, and I feel great confidence in saying that they will win the series because they avoided the one pitfall that would have derailed their championship pursuit if they would. And, you know, and I did a sports bit on this. One thing that you talk about great organizations, right? And we can point to in all the sports, and there's always a commonality there. Great ownership, intelligent, forward-thinking decision makers, passionate, invested, engaged, multi-talented players that round out the roster. Those are givens for franchises that are not just great for 1 year, but really sustain it 3, 4, 5 years, as the Warriors so clearly have, right? What you can't quantify is poise. Now, if that's another team, and Klay is on another team, and they have no championships in the last 5 years, and they're dying for one, you know what? I think Klay Thompson probably would have played for a different organization last night. But the Warriors, based on their equity and their poise, their championship poise, they were able to remove the emotion and say, no, the prudent thing for you and for us, more importantly, is to sit. He's healthy. Durant's coming back. This series is over. Warriors will win the championship
again. It's so hard for me to accept, though, that you sacrifice a game in the finals against a really good team. I'm not saying that the Toronto Raptors are great, even though they played phenomenal last night, scoring, what did they shoot, 52%? They were in the 50-40-90 club.
Yes,
that we
yes they
about.
Were. 50-40-90,
44%, I believe, from three-point range, yep, which they're not going to do on a consistent basis, and 95% from the free throw line. I mean, they were unbelievable shooting last night. Part of that, though, is because who was guarding
them? Well, it was an empty gym.
Of course it was.
It's like going into an empty gym and just hoisting up jumpers during the summer.
I mean, Jordan Bell.
Their defense was deplorable.
There was a play, I believe in the second quarter. I can't remember when it was, but Jordan Bell's trying to cut off Kawhi Leonard, getting to the baseline, and Draymond comes over to help, and he just runs around Jordan Bell. He ends up fouling him, and I'm like, I mean, that's like basic.
Is that the one when he dunked with his left hand?
Yes. And got the and one.
Yes.
And it was like, I mean.
And Jordan Bell, and then they pointed this out, that specific play. I believe it was Van Gundy, not Mark, where he said, you know, Jordan Bell is a real rangy, athletic player, went right by him like he wasn't there. And Kawhi is not the explosive athlete he was.
No, not at all.
He's a little compromised.
You're right. And so when you get situations where a team has to put young players like Jordan Bell in the game, playing pretty decent minutes, Jarevko as well, he was bad on the defensive end. You get these guys playing against some of the really good, experienced NBA players. This is what's going to happen. But my point is, if Steve Kerr is saying, all right, Klay, we know we need you for games 4, 5, 6, and 7, et cetera, down the line, we're going to just sacrifice game 3. I just think that's really dangerous.
But that's
basically what he said.
No, he didn't. He came out to try to win the game.
I know he came out
it's
to try
like
to win.
He said, we're going
but
to
did you,
surrender.
Did you believe, I mean, I kind of did think that the Warriors could win because I thought Klay was going to play. Mm-hmm. And even if he was just a spot-up shooter, it's not his game. It's not what nobody in the NBA does that. But I thought if he came out and played a little bit, knocked down 6 baskets, who knows, mm-hmm, whatever it was, mm-hmm, that the Warriors could have made this a game. But as soon as I knew he wasn't playing, I said, this Warriors, they have no chance. It doesn't matter if Steph Curry scores 60. They can't.
He tried,
He did. But nobody else can score consistently.
The Cousins was bad.
Oh, he was horrible. But
like
I almost don't fault him because think about the minutes. We talked about this.
He missed
2 months? Almost 2 months, maybe it's a little bit less than that.
A little less than that.
With a torn quad, he comes back. He's only supposed to play 12 minutes. He plays 28.
Yep.
right? Of course he's going to be hobbled and hampered and like a stick in the mud in game three. You could have expected that. So you just knew once Clay wasn't playing, this was going to be a blowout. So again, it's sacrificing game three for the future of the series, and I just think that's dangerous. Okay. Against a team that now feels like, hey, we can score. Hey, I'm Danny Green. I can knock down any three-pointer I want. And Kyle Lowry, who's not a great three-point shooter, he's knocking down every three-pointer he wanted to shoot.
He had five. Danny Green is very good.
True,
that's
but
what
you know
Danny does.
But you
he's
know
a
what
3
I mean.
And D guy.
But he's not their guy. He's not who they...
He's probably their best three-point shooter. I mean, he's the guy that you want in the corner.
But
Danny
not,
Green did that for the Spurs. That's what he does.
But it's not what he's been doing in this postseason. It is who he is, but it's been... He's been amazing. He was the part of the trade that we talked about earlier. I forgot who we had on a week or so ago, maybe longer than that. They said, oh, yeah, they threw in Danny Green as well when they brought Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So Ujiri did a heck of a job for getting Kawhi. Mm-hmm. When you compound it or, you know, I guess multiply it with the Danny Green acquisition as well, I mean, you got a championship caliber squad on your hands.
I mean, listen, I don't know that the Raptors could play a whole lot better, which is even more reason why I think the Warriors are going to come back with a vengeance.
They come back.
I think
they come back to earth a little bit.
I don't even know what the spread is Friday. I'm rolling with the Warriors. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to take the money I won last night, roll it right in, give me the Warriors. I'm going to say, Mike, can you check the spread, see if it's up? There's so many variables, Durant, Thompson, although Thompson's going to play, I'm almost positive. I'm going to say it's got probably going to open at Warriors minus 7.5, maybe even 8.
5.5. 5.5.
Oh, you got to, I mean, I'm going to have to jump on that during the commercial break. I think it's going to go up. The point being, Kawhi might be able to play a little bit better, even though he was incredibly efficient. I don't think Danny Green plays better. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Lowry plays better. I don't know that Gasol plays better. I know Siakam was great
game one.
In game one. What do you have,
32, 35?
Last night was more in line with what he's done this season, 18, 19 points. I think he averaged 17 change on the regular season. Van Vliet was good. But that's it. I mean, now the big boys show up.
Yeah.
Now, see, the Raptors had to win for this series to have length. I'm not in the least deterred in my conviction that the Warriors will once again become champions.
By
not
the way,
one bit.
123-109 feels like a blowout. This game was within reach with just Steph Curry. That's why you have some hope if you're a Warriors fan and believe that the dynasty is still strong. Klay's going to be back. Maybe KD is going to be back. I think we'll get at least another game, maybe not three more, but at least another game from Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins having the type of impact that he had like he did in game two.
Mm-hmm.
So there's hope on the horizon. It's just hard to be down to a Toronto team that has home court advantage now. They took it back from the Golden State Warriors, and you got to even it up before you go back to Toronto.
855-212-4227. We've got a series for sure. Which way are you leaning now? Raptors return a nice volley. And we've got to get into, which we will coming up, two things. Number one, what's this mean for Durant? I mean, now the script for Durant, something you and I talked about at length before the series, which could maybe really influence his decision for the future, what Kevin Durant faces and what the fan slash part owner should face. Last night, I mean, that was ridiculous. We've got to get into that, which we will. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, go a little Brian Adams singing. Yeah, some guys from school. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Yes, Brian Adams is Canadian. The Warriors would have won. We had a little MC Hammer going on for you. Have a time. He still looks the same. He was on First Take. He looks exactly the same. Minus the parachute pants, of course. And our show is brought to you by Geico. Quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance.
He had a weird, like, tie thing going on. I couldn't figure
it out. On First Take?
Yeah, I didn't know
if
I liked it.
He had the collar up.
Yeah, but I didn't know if I liked it, because it was like a tuxedo collar.
It worked for him. It worked for him.
It did.
It's not working for us.
It did. I was looking at it like, is that cool?
No, it worked for him. I thought he pulled it off.
But you do things like, is that cool? Can I get away with that?
Yeah,
and I looked at it, I was like, I don't know if I
can.
Then
neither can I.
I don't wear shades all day.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. He's still rocking the shades indoors. All right, so this guy, Mark Stevens. Let me just first read you something here. This is from the NBA. The following statement's been issued by Mike Bass, NBA Executive Vice President of Communications, regarding the conduct of Warriors investor Mark Stevens, mm-hmm. the guy, the fan who touched Kyle Lowry. He's an investor.
Touch.
PayPal.
He like pushed.
And cursed him out as well, according to Kyle
yeah.
Lowry.
Yeah.
And this, of course, game three. Quote, a team rep must be held to the highest possible standard, and the conduct of Warriors investor Mark Stevens mm-hmm. was beyond unacceptable and has no place in our league. As the review of this matter continues, Mr. Stevens will not be permitted to attend NBA games.
Yes. Now, what happened last night, Kyle Lowry goes diving for a ball out of bounds on the baseline.
Yep.
He jumps, falls into the courtside seats, and I'm assuming that this was Mark Stevens' wife who got up and kind of was like, she just patted him. Like, oh, yeah, you okay? And then he reaches over and just like, not physically strong, because he's not strong enough, I think, to actually do any damage.
Be a black belt. You never know.
True. But he reached and pushed yeah, hard yeah. Kyle Lowry
in
the shoulder.
It dehumanized him.
Yeah, it was weird.
Dismissive, like, get out of here. Get out of my way. What do you think you are, punk?
That's what happened.
Is this guy kidding
me? Dude, you sit courtside. It is what it is. Now, for context and background, Mark Stevens is a big deal. He used to be the founder and principal owner of Sequoia Capital, which he sold. But they invested in his time when he was there, and he made a ton of money.
PayPal, right?
Google, mm-hmm. and LinkedIn are just three of his investments that, you know, kind of.
Yeah, LinkedIn is fourth on the bullet point.
Yeah, they kind of paid out. He's worth $2.3 billion. Uh-huh. He's an executive board member with the Golden State Warriors, as well as a bunch of other, you know, boards around the country, including Harvard, where he went to school.
Yeah, nobody cares. Get to this.
But it does matter because he's a big deal.
He's a
big deal. So Mark Stevens, the reason that this is troublesome is because he should know better, knowing that everybody knows who the hell he is. It's not like he's in a place where you can anonymously do something untoward and get away with it. You're sitting courtside. You're a billionaire. Forget that nobody knew that you were an owner for most of this, all of last night. But you're a billionaire. You're sitting courtside. You got to think that people are watching you. Even if they're not watching you, they're watching you because you're worth $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So shame on Mark Stevens. And the NBA is basically just piggybacking on the statement that BT wrote. The NBA is basically just piggybacking on what the Warriors already did, which was ban him from coming through the remainder of the final series. They'll do an investigation. Maybe this lingers into next year. It probably should, but that's to be determined. He's a billionaire, so you know standards are different from him and the late guy who makes $50 an hour.
Yeah, $50 an hour is the late guy. $50 an hour is pretty David. D cells like, get me that job. Uncle Dick Ditch is $50 an hour. Get me away from these two losers talking sports every day.
If you're
$50 an hour.
If you're sitting courtside, you're probably making $50 an hour.
Probably more than that. But he said he's worth $2 billion, Mark Stevens.
$2.3 billion.
I don't care if he's worth $2.33.
He wouldn't be sitting courtside.
And we know there's a homeless. I don't make light of this, but there's a big homeless issue in San Francisco.
That's right. We saw that at the Super Bowl when we were there.
I used to walk past it back to my apartment.
I was shocked.
It was bad. I think it's gotten a little bit better. It was at an all time bad when we lived there, and I think it's gotten a little bit better. But the point is, I don't care if $2.3 billion or $2.33, and somebody gave him these tickets. He was half asleep with a bottle of a dollar, the lowest shelf vodka that he banged back 5 hours ago when he was passed out. And he's like, oh, what's this? Oh, I'm gonna get. And he goes, gets on BART, and he goes to the Oracle Arena. I don't care who it is. Somewhere along, and this is my main point. Somewhere along the way. I don't know when I can identify it, and it really doesn't even matter. But somewhere along the way, and people need to hear what I'm about to say, society began to think that it's okay to raise your hands and place them on somebody else. Mm. You see this at protests.
Yeah.
You see this at games. Let me tell you something. And I am the complete opposite of tough. Even in my 20s, I wasn't tough. I've had surgeries. I'm not tough. I'm not trying to come across as Johnny Tough Guy. But Kyle Lowry would have had every—I know he would have been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Lowry would have had every right to turn around and deck him right in the face what he did to him last night.
You're right.
Who the hell do you think you are to raise your hands and put them on my head like we're at the zoo and you stuck a quarter in that thing and you turned it, they gave you a handful of peanuts. like I'm a goat. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No.
Kyle Lowry should have decked him.
He should have, but Kyle Lowry had some restraint here. Now, the issue becomes now, You know, because we've seen this happen a few times, BT. Russell Westbrook, obviously, famously. Now, Russell Westbrook, if it was a man who had done it to him, remember we saw this?
Said a little kid?
It was Utah. Was it Utah? Yeah, I think it was Utah.
He's had several incidents at Utah.
But the one in Utah was with a kid.
Yeah.
If that had been a man,
maybe he would have actually
I think Russell would have actually confronted him physically.
Yeah.
I think it would have been an altercation. And now, it would have been ugly.
If Kyle Lowry hit him yesterday,
yeah.
I know that we would say, of course you have to suspend him. But there's two interpretations. There's the rules pertaining to an NBA player. Mm-hmm. You know, in that situation, based on game four availability. And then there's the rule that, the unwritten rule, that should pertain to the rest of society.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, look, if you're on the subway and somebody walks up to you and just pushes you in the head,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
Probably walk away from them, because I don't want to get sued.
Fair, okay. But most people would react a little more aggressively than getting up and walking away.
Of course.
Most people would.
Of course. But I think this is more complex than that, because there is a familiarity with who this person is. You know what I mean? So there's an emotional tie. Even if it's only one way,
yeah,
it's an emotional connection, or I guess disconnection, with Mark Stevens and Kyle Lowry. He's the enemy, right? If that had been Andre Iguodala, who had fallen into his wife, I'm assuming, seat, that's sitting right next to him. She was standing up, by the way, which was interesting. I don't understand why she was standing up. It was weird. The ball comes towards her. She tried to push it out of the way. The girl behind her takes the L, though. I mean, she got drilled. And then ultimately,
yes, she was. I thought she jumped up when she was up. She was standing up for a while there. Yeah.
And anyways, you know, if that had been Andre Iguodala, Mark Stevens wouldn't have done that.
What if that was Draymond Green? And this was Toronto, and the silent investor for the Raptors mushed Draymond Green in the side of the head.
Or what if it was Drake?
And what if, And imagine Draymond Green 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When he was a little more raw.
When
he was a little rougher around. He's grown up and he's matured.
He would have tossed
These
it.
Fans think they have a license to touch players.
Yeah. Well,
they're out of their minds.
Mark Stevens should have known better. He absolutely should have known better, because he's a billionaire who knows what it's like to be in the spotlight. And so
I know that
nobody was watching,
but that doesn't matter to me. I'm not saying you're wrong.
But here's the thing.
I don't care about that.
I do, because
about humanity.
But BT, it's less about humanity, because I don't know if the guy sitting on the other side of the court would have done the same thing. This is specifically
But we've seen that happen at other venues and other sports. We have seen that with non-owners or part owners or investors.
But this is a specific case.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Mark Stevens, because he's related to the Warriors. He is an executive board member and a billionaire who is invested in the Golden State Warriors, sitting courtside. If it was the guy on the other side of the table, of the scorer's table, who knows, or whatever it is, because they're on the scorer's side, but you know what I mean, the other end of the court,
yep,
that nobody knows, he probably wouldn't have reacted this way. There was something in Mark Stevens's mind that, because of the emotional connection to his team, because he's an owner, getting beat by, at that point, I think it was 10, I think it's up there, yeah, they were losing by 10, he emotionally reacted. And that's the bad sign, is that he has a connection, an interest in what's happening on the court, and emotionally reacts to Kyle Lowry. That's just bad. And that's what's damning, is that there was a connection, you know, or lack thereof, that ultimately resulted in him getting banned for the rest of the NBA Finals.
The restraint that Kyle Lowry showed is beyond admirable. I mean, Kyle Lowry is one tough cookie. You can tell me Kyle Lowry's had some crooked shooting nights. We all know that, although he's kind of exercised those demons the last couple of years. He's gotten a lot better. I said, yes, I think that. Actually, I thought he was going to play very well last night. I said that. As I was saying that, I pointed out that a lot of his, you know, I think as people parachute into Kyle Lowry's career, they mislead how inefficient he's been in the playoffs. He's actually kind of silenced his detractors.
No, he's actually a really good three-point shooter in the postseason.
Especially on the road.
It's been game ones,
yep,
of all of his postseason. Doesn't matter what round you're in. First round, you know, the semifinals, or the conference finals, and now the finals until now. It's the first game that he's been off.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. And that's been more game one. But Kyle Lowry's from Philly. Kyle Lowry is a pit bull from Philly. Kyle Lowry's not 6'5". You know, Kyle Lowry is short, stout. He's not going to jump over you. He's not going to blur by you. He's not incredibly shifty. He is just a pit bull.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're from Philly, listen, there's tough people everywhere, but if you're from Philly if you're from the Bronx, if you're from parts of L.A., Crenshaw, I mean, people that grew up in tough places usually are predisposed to punch back.
You're right. Let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Here's Kyle Lowry after the game. Interesting. The Warriors have a decision to make. This will show us the mettle of the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, the NBA will make a determination as well. But would you be surprised, BT, if he sold his controlling interest or whatever, not controlling, his minority interest in the Golden State Warriors at some point because he's no longer allowed to go to NBA games?
I would have to say, mean where he's forced or where he does it on his own volition or either or. It doesn't matter.
If he does it on his own volition, it's because it was forced.
I'd like to know how much he's got invested in that Chase Center. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big of the pie that he has. If it's a real sizable piece,
yeah,
they'll probably swallow hard and let. By the way, this will blow. We're not even going to talk about this tomorrow. No. I mean, Mark Stevens will be a non-story. You know, we just had to express ourselves here. I don't know his relationship with the Lakers. I don't know. I don't know. I can't really answer that. I would like to. Here's the poll question. Mike, how's it going so far? What did you construct here? Go for it.
I mean, fairly simply, the Warriors minority owner / billionaire Mark Stevens ID'd as the fan who shoved Kyle Lowry during last night's game. Mm-hmm. What should happen to him? Ban him for life? Ban him just for the rest of the finals? No more courtside seats, so maybe just have him sit up in the owner's box or something?
What a punishment.
Well, listen, I mean, obviously he likes it down there. Yeah.
He's an owner.
Or make him sell the team. Or his share of the team.
Yeah.
Yep.
So far the leader is 37% ban him for life. 18% say ban for the rest of the finals.
Life.
23% no more courtside seats. 22% he must sell his share of the team.
Yeah, no more courtside seats sounds about right. And by the way, just for good clarity on this, the management teams like this, or minority management teams, the 76ers are this way. There's a few of them, right? He's not the only one of the minority investors in the Golden State Warriors. They probably rotate who gets to sit courtside
because
they care not giving them all to them because they obviously got, you know, other season ticket holders that want to sit there. Just don't allow them to sit courtside. It'll be fine. Marginalize him. Don't let him, like, be able to, hey, look, guys, I'm going to be sitting courtside today.
Yeah, yeah.
Not happening anymore.
I'm going to vote for choice A. Give Kyle Lowry 30 seconds with him in the tunnel. I'm going to vote for that. I'm going to make my own vote, my own choice here. What's up, Back?
How are you?
How you doing today, buddy?
Swell.
You good?
Yeah, Mets win. All right.
Did the Mets 7-what? 7-3?
7-3. Yeah.
All right. Mets won. Nobody really cares about that. Ack cares about that.
Hey.
Ack cares about that. The Mets. Let's get the update from Ack. We've got inbounds, out of bounds after that. What else do we have today, Teak? Oh, we're going to get to the story about Major League Baseball with Manfred and the netting. We've got football at the 40s. Antonio Daniels will join us. And the script that awaits Kevin Durant as he returns from injury. How does this shape his offseason plans? All that coming up after Ack's update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
Woo!
All right, take in Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So no Kevin Durant for game 4, as per, what's his name, Shams?
Yeah, Sam Charania, who is reporting this. A lot of other outlets are reporting it as well.
Well, of course they are.
Kevin Durant, of course.
Now they all pretend it's theirs.
I got this. My sources have told me.
And by the way, we don't care. Yeah. As long as somebody gets it.
Exactly.
As first reported by.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Just say KD's not playing and let other people figure out where it came from. And again, they're not going to care anyways. But Kevin Durant, according to reports by Shams and others, will not be playing game 4 of the NBA Finals. Not surprising.
I'm a little surprised by that.
I'm not.
I guess.
Because, BT, we talked about this last week, right, when leading up to the start of the NBA Finals, right? Forget the, you know, the game 3 or 4. He's not doing any on-court activities.
No.
Right? You're not going to be out for 3 weeks or whatever, how long it's going to be now, without testing yourself a little bit. Now, we're supposed to do it today, but this is not a practice day. So it's likely he went out there with some of these younger kids, other, you know, not the guys who are starting, and it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're getting this report now.
I'm contradicting myself with this because I guess probably 2 weeks ago I remember saying on the show, I don't think he plays another second for the Warriors, you know, certainly this season. Then it would equate to an offseason move to the Knicks, as I've long been saying. But now, as recently as 2 or 3 days ago. I started to thaw on that based on, you know, he wasn't ruled out right away for game three. It seemed like there was a little chance that, even though I didn't think he would play last night, but there was like the door was slightly ajar. So for game four, I thought there was a shot. I guess what I'm most surprised at, the day before game four, for him to be so resolutely ruled out, maybe you are right. Maybe that's a real ominous sign.
Yep.
At least if it was game time, he's like, okay, he's getting there, game five. To rule him out the day before, that's probably not a good sign for the Warriors. But we shall see. Maybe we get a little Willis Reed out of him. We'll see. All right. You ready for inbounds, out of bounds here,
Tink? I am. Let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. Odell Beckham Jr. finally in Browns camp, working with second-year quarterback Baker Mayfield. They're spending his first 5 years with Giants, catching passes, some a little wobbly and a little slow from Eli Manning. Now, yesterday, Odell explained the difference between the two, obviously Baker and Eli.
I'm going to have to get adjusted to the speed because he's got an arm. You know, he's throwing that ball hard. So just catching him from the first day, it was like, wow, this is completely different. It just takes time. You know, something that, like I said, again, we play in September, so it's a good thing.
All right, there you go. By the way, I don't think that was shade. I really don't. It's an honest acknowledgement. People saying, oh, he's throwing shade at Eli.
No, it is what it is. Eli won 2 championships throwing softballs, if you want to call him that.
Yeah. No, his arm was – his late 20s, Eli's arm was fine.
Yeah, it is. This is different.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, Odell got to the Giants when Eli was on the, you know, other side of the slope. That's going a little bit downhill. Nothing, it happens. It is what it is.
Odell set a lot of young wide receiver records with Eli throwing
the
football.
That's true.
It's not shade, I don't think.
Okay. Inbounds, out of bounds here. Quarterbacks who throw the ball hard are more difficult for wide receivers to play with.
I'm going to say inbounds because it's different in how you have to react towards the catch. Right, if the ball is coming slowly towards you, it's different. I'm not gonna say it's impossible. You just have to adjust to it because you used to have to wait, and I think that was what he was kind of alluding to with Eli. And some people may be saying calling shade. Remember last year or 2 years ago, he said Eli doesn't put me in position. I'm paraphrasing to make plays after I catch the football.
Yeah,
but that's why, because you're waiting. Whereas with Baker Mayfield, the ball is on you. If you're just running, it's going to hit you in a desirable spot.
But then why would they be – that would be –
Because you're not used to it. It's just difficult when a ball is coming so hard and sometimes it gets through to your body, right? Whatever, I'm compromised. My arm is hooked from a defender. I have to one-hand catch this, as Odell is wont to do.
Yep.
If you can't catch a rocket one-handed. You can't. I mean, you can't – you might get lucky. But if a ball is lobbing to you, you can make those catches. Or if it gets to your body, you can corral it. Baker's ball, if it gets to your body, it's bouncing off, period. So I'm saying it is more difficult, but not unadjustable.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. You know, again, something like this, of course I'm going to defer to you. You caught passes. I didn't. I caught them in the street. But I just, the way my eyes work and depth perception, I prefer something with velocity, whether it's a frisbee, whether it's certainly a baseball, whether it's a football. A pass, getting ready to take a 3-point shot, mess around in the park. I feel like when you're waiting, your brain gets in the way. At least I could just react. I don't have to think. Here it is. And I would also think the more velocity, the tighter the spiral, which makes it easier to catch the right way. No?
This is true. This is true. However, a lot of guys don't have great hand-eye coordination. I'm serious. Like, they don't track the ball with their eyes. They track the ball where they think it's going to be. And so if
the slower it is, the more they,
is, they can adjust to it. The faster it is, you're like, I got this. And then it's like through their hands.
Yep.
So, or it hits them in the chest or whatever.
Or a face mask or something.
Exactly.
All right.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. TK, after becoming a free agent at the end of October, 7-time All-Star. Hey, Craig Grimble's got a contract.
Finally.
Hey, happy baseball season, Craig. Keuchel, I guess, is going to sign any day as well. Until today, when the NL Central leading Cubby signed the 31-year-old to a 3-year, $43 million deal. Pretty good contract for him. 3 years, $43 million. Ain't bad. Now, the Cubs bullpen's fourth in the NL with a 4.17 ERA. but they've blown the second most saves in the majors, double figures, 12. That is an ugly number in early June.
Yeah.
In or out, the signing of Kimbrel, the Cubs are the second best team in the NL behind the Dodgers.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, because I think the Brewers are, to be honest with you. They are really good. Zach Davies is having a heck of a season. We had him on. Oh, he was on when you were out last week, BT, on Friday.
Brandon, I retweeted that.
Yep,
Brewers said the Brewers.
Yeah, that's right.
I got it.
They gave him some love.
That's right.
Brewers.
He's 6-0
on the season and 12 starts. Woodruff has also had a great start of his season. He's 7-1 and 12 starts. And their bullpen has been better. I looked at this the Cubs, and I know that Kimbrel will make a difference. It was, BT, they have like 12 saves and 34 wins. And you know that pitchers don't. They have one complete game on the season.
Mm-hmm.
So think about how they're winning games.
They're bludgeoning people and just kind of holding on a little bit.
Yeah, either that or they're losing saves and then finding ways to come back. It's just interesting when you look at the statistics from their pitching staff. It doesn't line up to the fact they have the best record in the Central right now, even though it's only by a game over the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm going to say Milwaukee.
I'm going to say inbounds. I believe with Kimbrel, he will rectify a lot of their ails right now. You know, right now the Phillies are just too inconsistent. I'm just kind of just bouncing around the league. I do like the Braves, and if the Braves maybe get Keuchel, I know their pitching's a little shaky there. Acuna's yet to really beast, although his numbers are okay. Friedman's a big-time stud. Donaldson's got some decent numbers as well. Can't take the Mets seriously. The Nats can't take him seriously. I really do like the Brewers, and that's why I was thinking about them. Because every time they come up, I make sure they catch the baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a good defensive team. They've got the good energy. But the Cubbies, I just think the Cubs are rolling now. You know, Contreras is mashing. Rizzo's mashing. Baez is a stud. Bryant's getting his act together. And if they shore up Kimbrel, Kimbrel shores up the hole in the back of the bullpen, I think it is the Cubbies. And at that point, you might be able to make the case, maybe, that the Cubs could actually be better than the Dodgers, not the second best. If Kimbrel's lights out, it's pretty close. I'll say inbounds here, Tiki.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, stick with baseball. Vlad Guerrero Jr., not much junior about this kid's body. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like a junior.
No.
He's a big boy. Hit one at the shoelaces for a bomb last night against the Yankees. Now, he's trying to follow in some pretty big footsteps. His dad's obviously a Hall of Famer. And Biggio played last night. Mm-hmm. Biggio called up by Toronto. A lot of kids making it now. We're getting old. That's what that means. After struggling early, Junior's hitting .343 with two home runs and four doubles in his last nine. And now reportedly wants to participate, you ready, in the home run derby. If you remember, Vlad Sr. won it back in 07. So there's some historical lineage there. I get it. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Jays should prevent. Look at how low that pitch was. He went down and got that.
That was
man.
Bo Jackson-esque.
That did look a little bit like Bo. A little bit. It's an interesting. Look at you picking that up. Who do you think you are? Baseball?
No, I mean, I love Bo Jackson back in the day.
Bo knows this.
And Bo knows that. But Bo don't know crap.
I don't think we can rap either. In or out, the Jays should prevent Vlad from participating in the derby.
Out of bounds, man. Let the man get up there and swing and start crushing some. He will be interesting. He's a colorful character. I think he's got a unique and pretty awesome swing. Yeah, let him do it, Toronto. Come on.
You know, I don't. It's not that he's young. It's not that I'm trying to prevent him from doing something cool. I just got to see some more home runs before I thrust him into that position. I mean, there's a lot of guys who mash. I'm not saying he's not going to. I mean, he very well might equate to an all-timer.
Dude, he can crush it.
I know he can. The enthusiasm for his call-up in Toronto was rare stuff. I mean, they couldn't wait to see this young man play. He's going to have to watch his weight. His dad had a strange body, you know, but his dad was never really thick as a kid. As a young pup, his dad was pretty thin. And he got the big butt as he got older a little bit, which obviously helped him hit. But I just, you know, I'm not even worried about it ruining his swing. There's something to be said for merit. He hasn't earned it yet. That's all. Call me a hater. But I do believe they should try to dissuade him from participating. Now, if he hits five more the next week, maybe I change my mind. Right now, I say no.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
And of course, Inbounds Out of Bounds was brought to you by Fidelity Investment. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit Fidelity.com/value. That's Fidelity.com/value to invest with Zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSESIPC. A little bookmark Fidelity on my laptop here.
That's
Fidelity
good thing.
For a while. Fidelity's good peeps.
Fidelity Investments.
Good peeps.
By the way, did you hear who else Odell Beckham Jr. compared his quarterback to?
Which one, Baker?
Yeah.
Favre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sure if I'm buying it.
There'll be some hype machine out there in Cleveland this summer, boy. Hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.